Good. I want all you guys to know that I gave Caitlin voice lessons and gave Travis guitar lessons, and they learned everything they can do from me, you know. That's a lie. Well, I'll tell you what, this morning was a real blessing. I told Brother Sam, I said, man, today was a great day for you and the church, and I was glad he's able to be here today. I was really surprised. And he said, yeah, she woke up this morning. She said, I think I'd like to try to go to church. And I said, then just to have the energy to be able to do what's required. And that's, you know, unless you've been there, it's hard to imagine that. And she looked really pretty, looked nice. And, you know, God gave her the energy. And then they came into Sunday school late, a little bit late, you know. But I was really surprised. And I'm like, well, she's going to have to sit through Sunday school, then the service. And that's a lot, you know, someone like that. But she did it. And it was such a joyful thing. And then to see Safi, you know, unite with the church, and then Erica, and coming in, and then, of course, Jessica was here this morning as well, and Aubrey, and Aubrey still just a sweet, wonderful spirited girl, just with terrific spirit. Man, I hate to lose them, but just a joyful day in the Lord, and things are going pretty good. Things are going pretty good. Take your Bible and go to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. The other day, at Christmas time, I think it was, Zan or Brother Steve called up and wanted to borrow some tables. They were having their family gathering over there. And then Suzanne sent me a picture later on when they were having family prayer before their big meal. Brother Steve's up there, big fellow, you know, he's standing up there, man, and he's humble before the Lord, and I love to see that, and he's praying, and you see the whole family just lined up down through there. They all have their heads bowed, they're serious about it, honoring God, and thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, in his coming to the earth, and man, I've looked at that picture now, Brother Steve, several times, and that's a blessing. It's a blessing, not only to me personally, but just as your pastor, good going, and may God increase your tribe, and it's a blessing to see something like that in your homes, and man, it just lights my fire, and it lights my fire to see other people doing good things, and good spiritual things. That's super, superty do duper. And during the day, course of Nehemiah and Ezra, the nation of Israel was really in a disarray. Things weren't really going that well, and they needed restoration. Facilities, of course, of the capital were not where they should be. The walls needed to be rebuilt, as you know. But that was nothing really compared to the spiritual problems that they were facing, and it's always more important. And one of the biggest ones was improper intermarriage between the Jews and non-believers, or even the Gentiles, people of the nations, as the Bible would call it. The Jews, of course, had been displaced by, and what they were exposed to by these others can really cause a lot of problems, and it did. The grass always looks greener on the other side. You know, somebody wrote a book years ago, it's probably a pretty good title, The Grass Grows Greener Over the Septic Tank. Now, you city people don't even know what a septic tank is, but you ask an old farmer and he'll help you out to be able to interpret that for you. But the grass looked greener on the other side of the fence, and off their young men rode to date and then, of course, to marry these others. And this was forbidden by God. It's forbidden by God for the Jews to marry outside of other fellow Hebrews. Matter of fact, even outside of their own tribes, it was forbidden by God. And by the way, that's no proof text for what some hillbillies want to call intermarriage, forbidden to intermarriage. I mean, don't be an idiot, okay? That helps your preacher a lot. Just don't go there. But the prophet, of course, looks at all these things, and the man of God with the heart of God, he sees the need for the nation, and what they need is a spiritual revival. They need, kind of like analyze, organize, finalize, they need to get things back where they need to be at that time. Now, I was talking to Brother Colt, last week, before Friday. That's an inside joke there, Brother Jerry. And I was talking to him about just, you know, energy and what we're able to get done. And he's just asking how I'm doing and all this kind of thing. But I, like I told the guys here a few weeks ago, and I think I mentioned in church service, I just feel invigorated. I feel like, you know, God spared my life. I really believe that. God spared my life. And I feel emboldened. I just feel emboldened to do even greater things for God. I do. And I feel like God's given me the blood flow to get the job done. You know, I asked the doctor, I said, well, how long is this going to take, Doc? And he said, well, it's going to take 6 months for you to breathe better. And I'm like, okay, I don't like you already. But, you know, this is going to take a full year for you to get back to your old self. And I said, wait a minute, I don't want to be my old self. If I had 100% blockage in one artery and 99% blockage in another artery and 97% blockage in the other one, now you say my body is compensated for number one valve. See? And you've given me brand new arteries on the other two. Well, man, I ought to be feeling quite a bit better. It's the way I'm seeing that. Quite a bit better than what I used to feel like in a year's time. So I'm looking to climb Mount Everest to come a year from now, you know. I'm looking to, hey, you know, I mean, put up or shut up, Doc. I mean, either I am going to get better than I was, but don't tell me back to your old self. I don't want to be back to my old self. I want to be a far better, you know, a lean, mean fight machine. That's what I'm shooting for, you know. But I feel so emboldened about the whole thing, and feel like God has me here for a purpose, and I intend to fulfill that purpose. I really do. But they need revival in the land. And so, you know, I think that's kind of where we are in a sense, and having a new lease on life. You know, what are you going to do with this? You know, you have to ask the question, what are you going to do with this? Well, I got some ideas about that. You know, if I've been given by God's grace, given another opportunity to make another swing at things, well, by golly, I intend to do it. You know, I just do. Even if I show up late, Miss Cindy's giving me a hard time by coming in late. Actually, I was dealing with something, but it's okay. She can be sassy. I love her anyway. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations. Now, that all kind of led from you start hanging around, start dating, start marrying, now you're doing what they do. Abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Ammonites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons. Both. They're going both ways, both sexes. And you notice there's only two. So that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. So not only are the normal people doing this, but it goes all the way up, right? It goes all the way up. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Now, all that is the imagery of one in great mourning. You say, oh, people can't do that. I've seen people do that personally, so don't tell me they can't. I've seen it firsthand. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. Now, so there's still a remnant. There's still some that have their good senses about them. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees. So prayer is a part of this. And spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush. God be merciful to me, sinner. That kind of attitude. And blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. That's a whole lot. Since the day of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. Where sin abounds, grace there much more abounds, right? And to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy, we thank God for that, unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, and to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now, therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong, and to eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. In other words, if you do those other things, that ain't going to happen. All right? And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less our iniquities, punished us less than our iniquities deserve. In other words, it could be a lot worse. Hath given us such deliverance as this. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations, wouldest thou not be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant, no one's left that wants to honor God or escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Well, the leaders of the land, they have to understand some things that need to take place if they're going to see this reviving take place. And the first thing we see here is God's people, especially the leadership, praying from their heart for a deliverance, for a restoration, for a reviving. You can call it revival, spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it. A renewal of our spirits. Renew in me, a right spirit. Renew me. In verse 5, at the evening sacrifice, he said, I rose up from my heaviness and rent my garments and my mantle. This shows the severity of his understanding of the great wrong that they had done. Now they, speaking like Nehemiah, we have sinned. It didn't mean that Nehemiah did that directly, but as a people, we have sinned. Rent my garment, my mantle. I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord, my God. That's earnestness. That's earnestness. God, something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. And it's urgent. We need to get on this and we need to do it now. And if there's no burden to do something about it, nobody's going to do anything about it. There has to first be a burden before anybody's going to do. That's why John O'Reilly's talking about soul winning. He said, you got to get first people, you got to get them lost. They've got to feel that burden of being lost. Or why in the world will they ever be saved? Saved from what? Saved from what? Of course, the great passage of Psalm, he that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, the effort of winning souls and training souls without emotion and passion at best will provide a thin harvest. At best will provide a thin harvest. just this morning, after the morning service, greeting a number of people and trying to encourage a great number, and we do the best we can. We can't get everybody, but we do the best we can. And please don't ever hold it against me. A lot of people still do, but over time I can only be so many places and speak to so many people at one time. But I was talking with Kira and Cooper, and I asked Cooper, just all of a sudden felt led of the Lord to ask. I said, you know, it's a blessing to be a father in the gospel ministry. I said, by the way, you know, if God called you, Cooper, if God called you to preach, would you say yes? First thing he did is look at little Kira, you know. I said, don't look at her. I'm talking to you. You know, pass the buck. What saith, you know, my girlfriend? Forget what the girlfriend says. I'm asking you a question. If God called you, he tapped you on your shoulder and says, you're mine, and I want you to be a preacher for me, would you say yes? And he just kind of hemmed and I said, would you? Would you? Yes, sir. I would. Well, listen, if you go, you know, you start having that kind of conversation, you don't have a burden of heart that there need to be other good preachers. You're not going to convey any urgency. You're not going to convey any sincerity. You know, it's not like, you know, you just came through Valentine's Day, and you just can't say, oh, I love you. No, you can say, I love you. You know, I know I'm really bad at that kind of thing. That you pray for Miss Jory. That's about best I can tell you. You know, but you've got to show some heart in it, you know. You see somebody playing. I don't know if it's this. The other day, I didn't know that the Winter Olympics were going on. And I'm like, well, I thought that was just the pre-games, you know, stuff to do. And, oh, no, it's the real deal. And I don't know. Last night, we were laying in the bed, you know, and we're watching these things. And I was watching some of the downhill stuff, you know. And I don't know what it's called, slalom. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not. I'm not sure. But it's pretty exciting anyway. And so this guy, and I think he was from Brazil, and he won gold. And he's not from, I think he's originally from like Norway or something like that, but he transplanted down there, and he won gold, and they were interviewing him, and he could speak English well. You know, after he's overwhelmed. He's just overwhelmed. Just, you know, and just tearing up and just, you know, I can't believe this has happened. It's just a dream. It's just a dream. And I didn't think this would ever come true. And, you know, it reminded me of that song, Tom T. Hall. You know what I'm talking about? He had a lot of songs. He had stories and all in that. And there's an old song that he did. I love little baby ducks, old pickup trucks. I mean, my kind of guy, you know. I mean, my kind of guy. It may not be your kind of guy. I'm going to preach. It's my kind of guy. In that song, he says, I love losers when they cry, winners when they cry. And I thought about that song when seeing this guy. Now, he's a top line athlete, world-class athlete. And he had won something he didn't ever dream. He thought those guys from, you know, those northern countries, you know, they almost always, Sweden, those guys, they always take it because they're in snow all year long. Well, most of the time. But he was just overwhelmed. Then you know what? I love that. I love athletes who really play with their heart. That's one of the reasons I understand that a lot of men, especially like college football, college sports, more than they like professional sports. Okay, see? I mean, it's self-evident. But why? Because their heart. Their heart is in it, man. They're not looking for, oh, I can't get injured, you know, keep my paycheck coming in, all that kind. They want to win the game. Man. And they're willing to take some hits to win the game. And their heart is just in it. And the same thing here. If you want God to do a work, your heart must be in it. You have to have your heart in it. I know it's a cheesy, and I talk about it all the time. Some of the time anyway, about Rocky. You're all heart, you know. You're all heart, Rock. You're all heart. Man, and you have to have people with heart. God give us people with hearts. Now, I don't mean just a thumping organ. I'm talking about a passion to get something accomplished for the Lord. If it's attempted without emotion, it's at best going to provide a small harvest. The other day, we had Brother James, he gave us a tip, across the road from his house. And he's got a pretty big green thumb. He sits right over here. And we went out to his place. And across the way from him, right across the road, there's a big horse barn outfit. They do the little jumpy things, you know, all the little fancy thing with the little pretty girls and all that kind of stuff. Of course, the one I saw wasn't too pretty. But nonetheless, they're over there. But they got piles of manure. Piles of it. I mean, big piles. So he was telling us we need to get manure out there on our garden, you know, the preacher's patch out there. And I thought, well, you know, finally going to get some corn. Of course, and he later says he can grow anything in this stuff, but just not corn. And I'm like, that's what I wanted to grow. No, I can grow anything, but just not corn. We went and got that because I want there to be better harvest. Now, you have to want it. You have to do something about it, right? So we went over there. We made arrangements to go get a dump trailer, brought the tractor, took the tractor over there. and just made several trips, I think 8 trips throughout the day, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to bring manure onto the grounds. You say, well, you do that church pretty much every Sunday, don't you? And I said, well, maybe so. But you pray over that manure, and I pray God will bless it, okay? But we're going to do something about it. We're just not going to stare at it and say, well, I wish we had a better garden. Well, what are you going to do about it? Do you have a burden? Did you want to have a better garden? First thing you're going to need if you want to have a better garden, Melissa, you got to have a burden. I want to have a better garden. Right? You'll have a better marriage? Okay, you got to want it. I want a better job. You got to want it. How bad do you want it? Bible says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I love the James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you have to be righteous, number one, before God. But then, man, it's got to be hard in it. Got to be hard in it. There's not hard, you know, you have to wonder, are they really serious? I mean, my kids, they're all grown up now, but if they would come to me and say, Daddy, can we go get a milkshake after church? You know, well, if they said it like that, they may be so. But if they said, hey, Dad, can we go get a milkshake after church? Well, I can tell you right now, my answer would be no. It would have been, no, I ain't buying no milkshake, smart aleck kid. Get out of my face. I'll slap you silly. No, I didn't ever do that. But I maybe have thought about it, but I wouldn't have done something like that. But no, but if they said, Daddy, you know. Brother Houston, bless his heart, he told me not long ago, he said, Brother, I knew it was coming, you know. He says, first the beard, and now a coffee shop at church. Liberalism, brother. Liberalism. And I said, well, you got to understand. I said, when my baby girls and my Texas adopted daughter, you know, they start coming to you, Daddy, now that we have the, Daddy, now that we have the church paid for, you think we could get an espresso machine, Daddy? Yeah. So I told Brother Houston this so he'd have mercy on me, you know. And he says, you know, when they start out the conversation, and it's really a one-sided conversation, but you know when they start out, Daddy, you've already lost. You've already lost. Why? Because their heart's in it. Now, or they could just be a little good liars or something, I don't know. Maybe so, but the heart's in it. And if you want something from God, your heart needs to be in it. You need to show your sincerity. If, you know, the other day, matter of fact, we went over to Brother Larry and Miss Jones, and he had milk, and I think it's lactose free, but it's a milk that he thinks maybe I could even enjoy and not have the belly problems that go along with it, okay? I'm not going to give you flashcards on that. And I thought, okay, maybe, all right, man, that's wonderful. So I started trying to find a place I could buy that, and I couldn't find it. Kroger didn't have it. Target didn't have it. Man, they're all sold out. And that was during the storms. I thought, oh, you know, so they get it all back in. I started going by every couple of days. Can't find it. But finally found the chocolate milk. I bought some of that. And then finally, okay, here's the white milk. And that's what I was looking forward to. And I didn't have any cookies that I wanted, you know, the chocolate chip kind. And Tori made some chocolate cake for me and gave it to me with chocolate cake. Man, I took that home and I knew what I was going to do with that, Bubba. I'm going to get a big piece of that chocolate cake and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pour a good size of that milk into a cold glass. And I'm going to get into this. And I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen? I don't know, but I'm living by faith. I tell you. But let me tell you, I took the first bite of that cake and it just a good little sip of that sweet milk. I mean, I love milk, but it don't love me. And I thought, that tastes so good. I think I'll have another bite. And I went on that and I enjoyed that whole thing. And then Melissa, bless her heart, she made maybe some chocolate chip cookies. And she told me she made some special. But one thing, she made them crunchy, and I like them crunchy. And they were good. They were really good. I think, Greg, you had some of them. They were really good. And, man, I got that chocolate chip cookie out. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to baptize that sucker. The very best. And, listen, I haven't been able to do this in a long time. I mean, I'm in a dearth. A long time since I've been, you know, I would pay big money, at least for me, to have a big, tall glass of milk and be able to eat that with all the cookies I want to eat. It doesn't matter what Ms. Irma has to say about it. I saw you eat 3 donuts. Well, it could have been 6. She actually got on to me about that. I saw you, naggy woman. Anyway, man, I tell you, I got that cookie in there, and it's been a while, but I got it pretty close. You know, you got to get it down in there, and you put it, baptize it, put it all the way in there so that your fingers, your thumb, and your, you know, both of them are down. Now it's all under the water, and then you're waiting. You're feeling the texture. You don't want to pinch too hard, but you got to pinch a little bit. You're testing. Not yet. Leave it in there a little bit longer. And if they're crunchier, sometimes it takes a little bit longer because you want to get it saturated with the cold milk. So saturated that you have to get it up like that, lest it break off and grates the fall of it. And you get up, man, you eat that. And let me tell you, a great chocolate chip crunchy cookie filled with creamy, wonderful milk is heavenly. And I'm like that old dog, I'm floating up in the air, you know, on those cartoons. And it was just absolutely great. But you've got to have a passion about something. You know, if I, you know, oh, milk, what's the big deal? Brother Larry, he has a different belly than I do. It won't do me any good. Well, at least I got to try, right? And so you give it a go. Leaders and the people need to have prayers. They need to have prayers from the heart. They have to have a desire. If you want God to do something, you first have to have a desire to get the job done. Or nothing's going to really get done. The leaders of the companies of America would die if it didn't have people that had the passion to get something accomplished. Number two, you have to have people that want to see God, a good God, reward people for their faithful prayers. The Bible says in verse 9, and when we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us. You saw the prayer earlier. In our bondage, he has not forsaken us, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of kings of Persia to give us a what? A reviving. Now, some people say, well, I don't need reviving. Yeah, you just told me that. Yeah, the way you said it, you certainly need a reviving. Well, bless God. Well, what you need is good pick me up. You need to go see Miss Tori on Sunday morning over here and get you a cup of coffee. Extended mercy to us in sight of the king of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God. There's the big job. And to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. So what we're wanting is no small thing. We're kind of dreaming big here. We want to do something for God here. Now this prayer is a prayer of faith, and faith that brings, of course, God's blessing to our life. And in fact, the Bible says, apart from faith, it's sin. It's even wrong. Why would you do it? You ask and nothing, so ask that you may receive. You got to expect something from God. Somebody said, you know, you won't plant your garden if you don't expect it to rain. You have to expect good God to give you some rain. And by the way, we got a good toad soaking the other day. Number three, to hear God's people tell what they want. What is it that you want? You ever had kids come to you and they're just beating around the bush, beating around with, what do you want? You know, one of those things. Well, not quite like that, but what, sweetheart, do you want? You know, which being interpreted is, what do you want? You know, but we know not to talk to them like that. We'll injure their spirits, you know. So, verse 12, now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong to eat the good of the land and to leave it for an inheritance for your children forever. James 4:2 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So you say, well, is it possible that us in our foolishness that we can limit God and what God would like to do with us? Absolutely. Absolutely, we can limit God. And I don't want to ever be the one that's limiting God. I don't want to do that. We need to ask God for great things. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Believing. But you have to believe. You've got to have some heart in it. It's been well said, what would you attempt if you knew that you could not fail? What would you attempt for God if you knew that you could not fail? Well, I have some pretty good imagination with that. I could just take off with that and run. I really could. But we're going to need that type of faith to continue to grow. The Lord says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Either you believe that or you don't. The harvest truly is great, Luke 10:2, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Why did I ask Cooper something like that? I mean, I just led him to the Lord. Why? Why would I ask him? Because it's a passion. I want God to call preachers. And I want God to call preachers out of my ministry, period. If not mine, whose? You tell me whose. Well, preachers ought to be, and Christians ought to be, reproducing themselves. And if I'm doing my job correctly, I'm going to have some reproductions going to take place. Well, how am I going to ever inspire him to even give it a thought unless I challenge him and ask the question? If God were to call you, now God has to do the calling, I can't do that. But if God were to call you to be a preacher, would you say yes? Personally, I think every born-again man should come to the point that he would say, if God called me, I would do it. No matter my age or what, if God called me, I would do it. And to me, if as a pastor, as a preacher, if you can't get your men to that point, I know they have to be qualified, I get all that. But if you can't get them to that point, there's still something lacking in your ministry. Every eligible man should be able to say, if God called me to preach, I would go do it. By God's blessings and my church's blessings, I'm not a renegade. I don't advocate renegade Christianity. But yes, I would. Yes, I would. One of the early activities I had, you know, in Bible college, I was consoling a man who just lost, I think it was his mother. He's called Walter Nutt. Brother Rick will remember. Big fellow, big fat fellow, but he was a jolly guy. He was a lot of fun. He was an older guy in college. He was an old man for us college kids. Brother Rick was an old man. This was an older man than him. And we, you know, we go to into a little classroom before chapel, and we preacher boys would preach to one another. I forget what it was called, but we just scream at one another, you know, preach, we call it. And I remember in there one time, Walter was there, and he was very upset, and he was crying. And, you know, he was telling me afterwards that the class was dismissed, and it's time to go to the chapel, so we don't have a whole lot of time, but some things you just make time for. And he was crying. I mean, this is a grown man, he's crying, he's upset. And, you know, he had said yes to God's call in his life to be a preacher, but he wasn't a young man, rather, he was an old man. Probably older than me, right? Yeah, he's older than me right now. Don't say anything. But still he'd say yes. And I consoled, and I held big old Walter Nutt. I mean, probably about that wide. I mean, he's a big fellow. He was a whopper. I'd call him a whopper. That's back before Burger King. But I held him and he sobbed in my arms like a baby. But that same man said yes. God wants me to be a preacher. I don't see anything about age in the scripture. He wants me a preacher. I'll go to Bible college and I'll be a preacher. Brother John, how old were you? You went to school to become a preacher. You went to get training. Sir? 58. 58 years old. Now, Brother John might have been that old, but he's a lot better looking than Walter Nutt, I'll tell you that right now. And he's not near the size. I mean, I get my great, you know. But Walter Nutt, God bless him. And last I heard Walter Nutt, he had started a New Testament church. That's what I heard. Scuttlebutt was he started. And I'm like, God bless him. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Absolutely. All for it. I've told you before, when I retire, I'm going to go out to East Texas and I'm going to start Idle Do Baptist Church. Now, my wife didn't like the idea. She didn't think it's very spiritual minded, but I think it's just fine. She don't want to join. She didn't have to join. She can stay here. But I've already got people committed to join Idle Do Baptist Church. It'll do. So everybody comes up, well, I think we need to start. No, it'll do. See? It'll do. So I got a way to kind of buffet all the people that always want to run your business. Hello? Did I say that out loud? I guess I did. But I was talking to Brother Colt about it, and he said, you know, Dad, now he calls me Dad. He used to call me Pastor, now he calls me Dad. And he says, you know, Dad, the idea of retirement is not to go out and start another church. And I said, well, what else am I going to do with my time? You know, I mean, do something valuable. Do something. Now, we shouldn't look to others to build something we're not willing to participate in the building of. Every member would like to see their church grow, but not every member is involved in helping the church to grow. You know? Sometimes it's just your nasty looks keep the church from growing. Somebody says, I never give any nasty looks. You probably just did. But if you want the church to grow, you need to participate in that. You need to be a willing, joyful participant in seeing your church grow and to giving of yourselves. The other day, when it was in that Muslim coffee shop, I told you that story, right? In the Muslim coffee shop down there, and I tried to steer away from it. I asked our coffee, resident coffee snob, Brother Noah, can you check out this coffee shop? Make sure it's not one of those sodomite coffee shops. I don't want to go there. That's what I asked him. And I'm not lying to you. That's exactly what I asked. Check it out. You know, not that he knows a lot about that, but you know, but he knows how to do this stuff on the phone. All right, let's get that straight. All right, get that straight. Because he's a man, you know, trust me. His wife told me he's a man. Now, we go down there, you know, that Muslim coffee shop, and, you know, we get all the way through there, and Brother Larry, he just didn't remember. He's just not at peace with this. And I say, he said, what do you think I ought to do? Man, you're just asking a preacher, what do you think you ought to do? You better get this settled right now. He says, well, you know, I'll pray maybe tonight. Would that be okay? Or in the morning? And I'm thinking, should I tell him what I'm thinking, Lord? He said, yes, son, go ahead and tell him. So I said, would you be so bold? Didn't I tell you this? Would you be so bold with me? All right, now, I've got a reputation here now. Would you be so bold with me to do this right here, right now? Man, he didn't miss a beat. He did not miss a beat. And he bowed his head right there, and he didn't do one of these. And you know, when you're the preacher, you're doing one of these numbers. You know, you're wondering, I want you to pray out loud. And so nowadays I usually say, I want you to pray. I want you to pray out loud so I can make sure what you understand, what you don't understand, right? And so, man, he's off to the races, you know, and I'm thinking, man, what boldness. This is good. Man, this is good. This is good. And we got all these, listen, the young Muslim guys, you know, over there, you know, that are walking to the little prayer room, is kicking off their shoes. A dirty place in there, by the way. But anyway, all these young girls, you know, over there, and most of them, they don't know what's going on, but they got the little scarves and everything, and they're looking so pretty and come to be seen as much as have something to drink. But they're peeping at us. You know, they're listening. I'm talking about like this. And so, can you hear me back there? Well, they can hear me all over this room. And I remind you, it's the Muslim coffee shop. That says, what was the prayer room called? Interfaith. It's sort of like worship to the unknown God in Mars Hill with Paul. I'm thinking, that's my out. I'm interfaith today anyway. You know, so I just went to task and led this man to the Lord, you know, and he prayed, and then I prayed, and man, I was praying out loud and in Jesus' name. And before I left there, I said, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people are peeping at me. And what I should have done is turned right around, stood up, say, sweetheart, you're next. Get over here. You know, if I would have done that, probably would have passed out cold. Crunch, you know, just fell right down there on the floor, dead as a donut, you know. And no, they didn't have donuts. They had pastries at that place. They don't have donuts. They should have donuts, and probably more than three. But it was exciting, and I felt exhilarated with it. Miss Irma, as you know, she's a Burton soul winner, and she told me about a family in need, especially a man who was in a hospital and wanted. It was requested of her. She didn't even know him. It was requested of her to go see this man, visit with him. I said, you don't need to go by yourself. You don't need to do that. I will meet you there. And don't go in the house until I get there, right? I said, don't go in the house until I get there. So she's a good church member, good spiritual lady. And as she did, I showed up just before she did. We had to walk down the way and went into the, and sure enough, it's bad sick. Already on oxygen, lung cancer, it looks like. Is that right? Lung cancer. And his wife was there. We're out on the back porch, you know, and the wife was there. And the mother had gone back to Mexico, found out about the diagnosis of her son, and immediately came back to Mexico to be there with her son and to help them with anything, I guess, that she could do. So she was out there as well. And as it turned out, by the way, fun facts I don't want to tell, they are from the same hometown as Miss Irma. Now they got all excited about that and they're just going off, talking in tongues. But we got in there, you know, and the man that's bad sick, he could speak just a little bit of English. The wife, even a little less. The mother, even less than that. And so we started in there, and Miss Irma took off, and she started witnessing to him. But you know, I told Dory afterwards. I said it was an amazing thing. You know, people say, I don't speak that language, but I can better understand it than I can speak it. I've always said, how's that? I get it. I get it now. Because we're sitting there, you know, the back porch, and we're getting through all of this. And then all of a sudden, her tone kind of changes. And I'm like, uh-huh, here we go. But then she starts throwing down some words, and I recognize some of those words. And I'm like, oh, and I stand at the door and knock. I know exactly what she's talking about. I know how bright am I. I know what she's talking about. She's witnessing. Then she finally, she said, I'm witnessing to them. You don't have to tell me. I know. I'm praying for you right now, you know. Well, afterwards, you know, they wanted me to pray for them. And so it was kind of a team effort, you know. But all three of those bowed their heads right there and trusted Jesus Christ their Savior, didn't they? It was a joyful, joyful thing. And then I'd met a man out there in East Texas, and he was a hand of the company that I hired to do some spray insulation just on the ceiling underneath, you know, and I did open sale on that. And before I left that day, another man, and he couldn't hardly speak any English, but he knew I was a preacher, and he came to me kind of privately, and he said, I have many problems. Many problems. Could you help me? You help me? Yes, I can help you. I can help you. Now, I don't know what made him just pick me up. I don't know. I don't know. A lot of men, they look for sincerity or something. I don't know. But, I mean, I couldn't converse. I didn't tell him all of last week's sermon. So for whatever reason, he's throwing some trust my way. Well, I know that I can't fully witness this man. I can't share with him the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ without an interpreter. And I happen to know a pretty good soul winner. So I get in touch with this airman. I said, I need your help. And if you can meet me, and this, you know, 2 hours away. It's not close. So this is going to have to be from afar, you know, as the Bible says. And so we got in there in the office and got on the phone, made an arrangement that he'd call you at this certain time. And then he's saying, nobody, they don't care for me. They don't love me. Nobody cares. He won't call. But we did. We did. And it was tough. I told him, Sirma, I don't really know what to expect, but this could be very hard. And it turned out to be indeed very hard. A very troubled soul with very serious issues. And it got so bad that she felt in talking with him that he would not be of the right mind to even receive Christ. But then he went through some physical things, some severe physical things on the phone. We could hear all this. Very troubling. Very hard, very hard. And sometimes when people kind of get stuff off their stomach, you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, kind of when you're sick and you get rid of something, you just all of a sudden get flushed feeling, you kind of feel better. Well, that happened. And all of a sudden, there was an opportunity of clarity of mind and thought. And again, bam, she took off. You know, she said, I'm witnessing. I said, I know. I don't know how I know. But I know. Did I get that right? You know, the Trump signed again. I don't know, I know, but I know. It was the best. So I wasn't enough kidding. But off we were running again, you know. And he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I believe God can do it, and I'm feeling it. And I'm like, yeah, you may, if you wanted to throw dirt in my face, you might want to hold on. Because I intend yet to live. And I'm feeling invigorated. If you don't want to get on board with that, get out. We'll find pine for somebody else. And you say, well, that's pretty bold. Well, I didn't intend to say it. It's nowhere in my notes right here. But there it is. I mean, I'm feeling God wants to do something with me as your pastor. And you're a part of that. Now, I want you to be an enthusiastic participator, not a spectator, not an agitator, of course. What kind of tater are you? I'll never forget that. That was an a skit years ago at Bible college. I think it was our camp or something. You know, what kind of tater are you? And they're all dressed up like potatoes, and the kids come out, you know. What kind of tater are you? Well, I don't want you to be an agitator here. I don't want you to be a spectator here. Well, bless me if you can. I'm not here just to pour good after bad. I want to invest myself in people who want to be invested in. That's why I've always rolled. If you're not interested, I'm really not interested. I'll do you a little bit here and there, but I'm not going to invest a whole lot of my time and energies in somebody who don't want to be blessed. Don't want to do anything for God. You better light your fire. Well, I'll give you a goose every once in a while. I love you enough to do that. But if you're not interested, don't expect me to just invest all of my precious time in you. That's a good time to say amen right there, Miss Andrea. Amen. You see, I mean, I feel invigorated. I feel transparent. I feel honest. I mean, what can I hide? Nothing. As Chichi Rodriguez, you know, he's a professional golfer. And I don't know if he's still alive. Is he still alive, Chichi? Any golfers? Chichi Rodriguez, is he still alive? Is he gone? Gone, boy. Anyway, he would say, he was a Spanish guy, but he was a great professional golfer. And he says, born broke, probably die broke, might as well go for broke. And that's the way I'm feeling. Might as well go for broke. So I'm looking to win souls. And I hope you're looking to win souls. And I'm looking to build this church. And if you're not interested in that, you might not find it too attractive around here. I want to see God do something. And I was telling Colton, he says, man, you're on fire. You're on fire. And I said, well, if nothing else, let the people come see the preacher burn. You know, don't throw gasoline my way, though. I will light up. You know, like a little wood, not the June bug, but lightning bug. Well, let him light. All right, somebody says, we just turn the preacher and get the preacher on fire. Just everybody come watching burn. Well, I'd rather have more than one candle in the house of God. And I'd rather you desire to be a part of that. And if you're thinking, you know, it's over, man, it's over. It may be over for you, but it ain't over for me. Keep the fat lady out. You know, the fat lady that sings, some of y'all don't seem to understand what I'm talking about. Or maybe you're offended I said fat lady. Okay. It's honest. She's fat. You know, don't let the fat lady sing. I'm not out just yet. I want to see us work together to win more people to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to see more men surrender to the gospel ministry. I just talked to Brother Garrett the other day. And he is this close to being finished up with his education that he's going to be looking to go pastor a New Testament church. And he's one of ours. He's one of mine in the Lord. And I intend to see it through. You say, you're pretty serious about that. You bet I'm serious about it. But if that's not, you know, kind of the way you want to go, you know, okay. Just don't get in my way. Is that fair enough? Just don't get in my way because I can fight. Matter of fact, somebody asked me, said, well, how are you feeling? I said, I think I could take you. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. Matter of fact, I told Miss Rhonda, I forget who I told this to. Oh, it was Heather. I was telling my boss, my cardiac boss, Heather Juarez. I said, I fired the cardiac rehab people this last week. She said, you did. I said, I told your doctor, her boss, I said, I told him I might. And I told him, I'll go at least 3 times. And I'll do it. Now, you got to burn. You're burning at least 2 hours out of your day. And it's not like, okay, it's first, you know, I got to go there, got to come back, get cleaned up. So you're burning quite a bit of time. And I'm going out there, and at first, okay, what are you going to do? And I asked them, when they do the consultation, which just means they charge you money and don't do anything. And I said, okay, what I want to know is what are you going to do with this muscle? Because it seems like I got a valley going down through here, especially early on. And I've told many people about this. And it feels like this muscle wants to go that way and this muscle wants to go that way. And ne'er the two shall be together again. That's the way it felt. I mean, it just felt like these muscles are trying to come apart. Now, in case you're wondering, they don't feel too good. You really don't want that to happen. I promise you, you don't want that to happen. Then You know, a few years ago, back there on the back on that apartment out there, that's a tremendous blessing, but I pulled that spot right there. Bobby's sister, Bobby's girl, Bianca, was here. And that's why she was feeling my shoulder, by the way, on the anniversary service, because she's a therapist. Hello, nosy people. She's a therapist. And I said, could you talk to me for a few minutes? She said, I'd be happy to. Real sweetheart. Bobby, he's got, I think, 3 daughters. And real sweetheart. And I said, could you help me? Would you mind talking to me? And she said, no, not at all. And I said, I've started therapy and I'm working out and I'm working through the pain. She said, you stop that. And I said, okay, what? She said, no, you work on mobility first and then later you worry about strength. And I said, yes, ma'am. Because I said, are you willing to touch me? She said, I'm comfortable touching you if you want me to touch you. And I said, I don't have a problem with it. Go ahead, woman. Yeah, I'm kidding. But I said, feel my chest. And it didn't feel like a man's chest at all. I'm just telling you the gospel truth. It didn't, you know. It's like the other side of the aisle, as Travis says. That's what it felt like. And I don't like that. Not on me anyway. I won't say any more of that. But I don't like that at all. Tone. No tone. Soft. Way, way softer than it should be. Even all this, even the hanging down stuff, man, I never had that before. This is bad news, man. I can't lead like this. And so, you know, I said, well, what can you do for my shoulder? I told her about the injury. She said, you mean right here? And she put her finger right on the exact spot. I'm like, how'd she do that? I said, how did you know exactly where that was, that injury? She said, well, I've been doing this a while. And I'm like, God bless experience. That's what I'm saying. God bless experience. And then, so I get over here. Now I'm going 4 times. I didn't go 3. I went 4. I went the extra mile, see? I went 4 times. And then this guy, finally, they said, well, we don't repair this and this. We don't work on that. I'm like, well, why am I here wasting my time with you yahoos? No, said, no, we exercise the heart. And I said, well, you know, everything, single thing that I do exercises my heart. You know, I mean, last I checked, your heart has to beat to do anything. Hello. So, all right, I gave him a word, everybody, I'd do at least 3 weeks. So I did 4. And I'm over there working out, now doing, I don't have to be told, I know going, and I get these bands, you know, big rubber band things. And I'm over there doing it, you know, what they told me to do like that, and keep your elbow up and all that kind of stuff and get all that. And it really was helping, this stuff. And I said, well, okay, I'm already doing more than this at home, by the way, with weights. And so I just started pressing that over my head. Now, it's just a rubber band. It's just a rubber band thing, you know, connected to the wall with a stirrup on it, like a horse saddle stirrup kind of, you know. And I'm just doing that. And he came over and he said, this is this higher level therapist. And he said, I don't want you doing that. Yeah. Okay. Why not? Well, you're just not ready for that. I'm like, I said, do you know what I was doing yesterday? He said, no. I said, I was hanging sheetrock. And one of them I hung overhead all by myself. And let me tell you, city boy, that's a lot more difficult to do than what I'm doing right now, pulling on your rubber band. And he said, well, I don't want you doing that either. That's what he said. Can you believe he'd talk to me like that? Respect your elders, what I was taught. And I don't want you doing that either. I said, okay, we need to have a come to Jesus moment here. You know, I said, now listen, I love everybody. Yeah, bless their heart, you know, one of those times. I said, I love everybody. But listen, sonny, you get to a little bit, tell me what I can and I can't do in this place here. But you don't get to control my life. What I do, I do. It's none of your business what I do. And I know when it hurts. I know when to stop. But I'm not going to allow you to tell me what I can and I can't do on my place in my life. Now, I didn't tell him to drop dead, but I did cancel without about an hour later. I canceled all my future appointments. And they said, oh, we're concerned for you. And I said, I asked you to be concerned about this. You were only concerned about the heart. You told me that you don't have anything. You're just going to work on the heart, and I want you to work on my shoulder. I need to feel better. I need to be able to lift my wife right over my head just like that, you know. She gets really impressed when I do that. I only do it 5 times. I don't want to show off in a row. You believe that, don't you? Valentine's Day is 10. Yeah. Uh-huh. James says, uh-huh. He don't believe me. He don't believe anything I'm saying. But, you know, I said, listen, I could do all of that. They had me ride the bicycle and doing the treadmill, walking, and ride the bicycle. And I have a bicycle, the same name brand, but better than the one I'm riding at the center. I'm like, and that's 90% of what I'm doing other than pulling on these rubber bands. And I already bought me a set of those rubber bands. And I got them on my bicycle, so I'm pedaling away and I'm going over 16 miles an hour for at least 3 miles. Come and join me if you want. Tori tried to do the kick thing with me and she bailed out at 100. I went to 5. Miss Suzanne Hall was back here the other day. Head Row Steve said, man, you do that, just kind of did that leisure kick, you know. And I said, man, my stomach, it's tight again. And I started hitting. She said, oh, don't hurt yourself, you know. Don't hurt yourself. And I said, no. She said, Brother Steve, he gave me a good punch. I said, Phil. He said, all right. Well, when he felt, she wanted to feel too. She said, I want to feel. Didn't she? I wanted to feel. She said, hey, goosey goo. You know, no, she did. She punched me, you know, in the gut. And she said, well, she said, then she turned to her man and said, honey, you need to. yeah, a little provoking to good works, you know. But, hey, I'm wanting to get better. And I'm not wanting to get better just to look good, though everybody says I look good. Even Faith Allen yesterday at the wedding. Congratulations, Brother Steve and Lauren, by the way, got married yesterday. And he fell off the wagon, though. He did, because they had to. The groomsmen were all wearing Converse tennis shoes. They fell off the wagon. And, oh, my word. Anyway, but congratulations to him. But I don't feel invigorated just to lay down. I want to get something accomplished. I really do. Somebody says, well, how old are you now? Well, I'm 60 years old. Or 61. How old am I? I'm 61. Yeah, I just turned 10, just had a birthday. I'm 61. I don't really pay attention a whole lot to that stuff. I really don't. I just live life and let other people take pictures. Really do. Now, I regret not taking pictures sometimes because, I mean, didn't somebody, matter of fact, I asked my sweetheart the other day, didn't somebody take a before and after picture of my chest? And she said, have you lost your mind? And no, she didn't say that. But I was wondering, why didn't nobody take pictures? Sydney and Paul are always taking pictures. Somebody's got to be taking pictures. Everybody has a camera on their phone these days. Even idiots have phones that have pictures on it. And so, she kind of pulled it out like, I'm not so sure you want to see this. And they only had one, and it was like 3 days afterwards. And I know why they didn't want me to see it, because it wasn't very good, you know. But I love the fact now that I get to play with the grandkids. You've got one belly button. I have 4. Yeah. You know, I'm sort of like Gatlin over here playing with Liberty's shirt, and she's giving him the stink eye about it this morning, you know. You see him flirting with her? She turned him down the first time, but chip off the old block, Brother Gary, you know. Yeah, he'll let that keep him down. Nah. You can't keep a good man down. He went back after her again. He did. Went back after her again. And she was singing like this and giving him a stink eye and she crossed arms. But that wasn't enough. Good job, son. He went back and turned over to her and she started singing this way. She's being taught well by her loving mother, I'll tell you right away. But you go for it, boy. In time, though. In time. Now, I'm saying, whatsoever the hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. That's what I'm saying. And I intend to get some things done. And I want you to work with me, not against me. Okay? I do. But I feel, Brother John, and I know you feel the same way. You know, just God's given me some more time. And I don't intend to waste it. I intend to try to get something done. And so, old Brother Colt, he's thinking, man, I don't know if I can keep up with you. And I said, you can't. You know? Brother John, he's talking, that they went on the race. What was it? The marathon. Well, it's not a marathon. 5K, right? 5K. So he come in his long johns the other morning. You know, he came to church and he had on his long johns. He went streaking across the back of the church. And I'm like, these new church members, they don't know what they're doing. God bless him. He's streaking right across the back of the church. And he had his suit with him. Streak, there he goes. Bididip, there he goes. Bididip, streaking across the back of the church. And had his long johns on. Looked like, you know, that little pigtail girl, Pippi Longstockings. That's what he looked like. Man alive, Lord forgive him. But Miss Ray also was in that 5K. And I said, did you see Miss Ray at the race? I don't know if it's a race, just the run, or what do you call it? Run?
Just a run.
Oh, it's a run. Now, to me, it would be another heart attack. But they call it another run. I said, did you see her? She said, no, but I had to pass her. That's the kind of man I want in my church. Yeah. Hey, listen, if a girl's outrunning you, I don't want you in my church. You just go hang your head somewhere else, you know. You know, dogs rule and cats drool. I'm sorry. You know, you can't outrun a girl. Just get on the bench and stay there and keep it warm for me. I'll get there and join you later. But if you're going to do it, and God bless John for running. If you're going to do it, go run. Go do it. Don't just, you know, get out there. You see some of these, and they're at the run, and they're doing this. You know, why even get out there? If that's all you got, block. Let somebody else carry the ball. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I've tried that at the house, and it doesn't work out this. Now, I can show you what will work that out, but you've got to get with it. So when you go to the exercise room, you need to press yourself to a point that you're panting. Guy, same guy came over and says, you're breathing pretty hard. I said, I better. You know, I mean, where do these guys get their education? If you're going to work out this and work out this, work out this and this, which you got pretty, you know, needs a lot of work back there. My tailbone, that's the reason I had that donut the other day. It's bad. You get a bruised tailbone, you'll know it. I promise. It hurts. It hurts. Bad. But you got to build up those muscles. And you have to work out to build up those muscles. And church, if you want to be a strong church, you got to work out. You got to work with me. You got to invite people to come to church. You got to invite people to be saved. You got to invite people to get their life straightened out. You got to invite people to get their marriages worked out, right? You got to invite them and encourage them to get their children straightened out, their homes straightened out, their child rearing straightened out. I mean, people are a mess. They're a royal mess. And who's going to help straighten them out but the people of God? You say, well, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, don't you pray about that and ask God to get you comfortable with that. Because, you know, you don't have to have a paramedic's license to do CPR. You just got to know where to push and how often. And you can save lives. And I want you to help me do some pushing around here. Get after it. Let's see what we can do together. Pastor and people, let's see what we can do. I'll tell you this, if we'll put our hand and heart to it and pray over it, God will give us some fruit. He already has. Don't you like it? I like it. I like fruit, especially if it's sweet. I'm talking about Erica, sweet soul. I like sweet souls. Men or women, I like them. Brother John, been going through it lately. He's a sweet soul, right? I like sweet souls. They want to do something for God. They're looking to God to help them through their thick and thins, whatever it may be. God bless their tribes, I say. And let us all increase. Let's stand together for prayer.